In our sermon series, we are purposing to focus on those things which cannot be seen, which might seem a little odd or a little out of sorts. What does it mean to look at things that are not seen? But we see in the scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it says, "So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." In our series of thriving in the spiritual dimension, we're today looking at, still in that sub-series of those entities that are in the spiritual dimension, that which cannot be seen or perceived with our physical senses, and yet that which is very real, and as it says here, even those things which cannot be seen, they're eternal, they'll last forever. The things and the circumstances that you deal with in life, this is only temporary. So it is vital for us to spend our time seeking those things which are above, as it says in Colossians 3, setting our mind on those things which are above rather than the things that are on the earth. And so as we desire to thrive in the spiritual dimension, it's so vital for us to develop an awareness of all things that are spiritual. Spending time in that, perceiving that, looking at those things that cannot be seen. And we've talked about the entities that are in that dimension, the Godhead, Father God, Jesus, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. And now today we're going to be looking at God's servants, his angels. This is just a very, very brief message on angels. Not that it's short, but that it's trying to address this subject in a brief manner. Very abbreviated, just highlighting a few things for the purpose of us having awareness. Awareness of the reality of angels, awareness of what their purpose is and how they serve God and us. I would encourage you, if you really have an interest in this or would like more information or more awareness, there's a tremendous course in our AFCM ITC about angels done by the teacher Judy Tillett. And just a wealth of information there. And you can always audit the course. You don't have to, you know, pay the full registration or, registration fee or the, what's the other word I'm looking for? Tuition, there we go. You don't have to pay the full tuition. You can view the course just for an audit. And so I would encourage that. But the whole purpose of this is really cultivating awareness. But at the same time, when we're doing this, I don't want for you to get so angel-focused because, you know, that can also lead to vulnerability for deception, and I'll address that here today. What we do need to do is stay focused on God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and allow God to utilize his servants, his angels, for purposes of ministering unto us. So first of all, the question, what are angels? Angels are created beings of the spiritual dimension. We're looking at those things which cannot be seen. Typically, angels are not seen. Now, I realize that we have biblical examples of appearances, and sometimes people do experience that. But for the most part, they are of the spiritual dimension, and although this place may be saturated with angel presence here this morning right now, probably most of us are not seeing them with our physical eyes. But they are created beings of the spiritual dimension, and in Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5, it says this, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him from the skies, praise him all his angels, praise him all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord, for he issued his command, and they came into being. So the angels are listed among those created things that as God spoke the word or gave his command, they were created. The only thing that has not been created is the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All other things have been created at the command or at the word of God, including angels. So first of all, angels are created beings. They were created with a will, much like human beings were created with a will. And to either serve the Lord or unfortunately we see in Scripture those that rebel against the Lord because they have their own will. We see this specifically with one of the three angels that are named in Scripture. What can anyone tell me what those three angels are that are named in Scripture? Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, okay. And this is what we see in this passage of Scripture of Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 14, and the King James or New King James translation specifically addresses that angel by name when it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, 'I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High.'" Now, we're not going to speak much of this rebellious angel because that's for another message. When we're talking about the entities in the spiritual dimension. But what you do see in here is that very, very obvious, "I will," in rebellion against God, angels created, specifically this angel Lucifer, created with a will to choose to obey God, to choose to serve God, or choose to rebel against. And here it's very obvious. He says, "I will, I will, I will." And if you were to continue reading on there, God says, "No, you won't." You can read on there if you'd like to on your own. So from there, we're going to talk about what are the purposes of angels. And we start out by one of the main things that we see throughout Scripture is they are sent as messengers. In fact, the word, the Greek word for messenger is angelos, which is where we get the word angels. It means messenger. And we have a very obvious example of that in one of those three angels that is named, and that is Gabriel. We see Gabriel, named angel of the Lord, that brings the message to Mary that she was going to be with child by the Spirit of God and that this child would be the Savior of the world. So angels are messengers for the Lord. Also, they are servants. They are servants of the Lord. And we'll see a number of scriptures that make reference to that. I would encourage you to turn with me to Psalm 103. I kind of have the content of this passage up there, but not all of it. So if you want to follow along in your scriptures, I would encourage you to look up Psalms 103 and verses 20 through 22. "Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord." In this, again, we can see how they are created beings, as it's described here. All you created, everything he created in all of his kingdom. But here it says, those who carry out his plans. So angels are here to carry out the plans of God. They are servants of the Lord. They listen for his commands, as it says in that passage. They are waiting for the Lord to speak to them. His commands is what moves them. And it says, who serve him and do his will. Everything created, praise the Lord. These angels are those who serve him and do his will. So they are servants of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation." So, again, we see that they are servants. They're servants of the Lord, but they minister unto us. Remember, they're God's servants, not your servants. Okay, I don't think you can just command them to do what you will them to do, because they, as we saw before, they are servants of the Lord. They respond to his word, to his command, but they come to serve us, or they come to, excuse me, to minister unto us, to care for people who will be who will inherit salvation. We see several examples of people being ministered to by angels as they were experiencing a variety of things. One of them being Elijah after he fled from Jezebel. He was ministered to. He was actually fed by an angel. We also see Jesus when he was being tempted of the devil, that he was ministered to by angels during that period of time. Another purpose that angels serve is guardians. We see that in Scripture in Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, "For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him." And when we talk about the angels of the Lord being a guard, just note the caveat there, or note the what's spoken about, you know, those who are guarded by the Lord are those who fear him. So we need to ask the question, do I fear, do I respect, do I reverence the Lord? The angels of the Lord are to guard those and defend all who fear him. Also in Psalm 91 and verses 9 through 12, it says, "If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." So again, there's an if-then statement here. If you make the Most High your shelter, as it starts out there. In other words, you're putting your trust in the Lord. Lord, you are the one who guards me. Lord, you are the one who protects me. It says, if you are making the Lord your shelter, then he will order his angels. Remember, he's the one that orders them. They respond to his word, to his command. He will order the angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands. Now, just a reminder that this is a passage of Scripture that Satan used as part of his temptation of Jesus, when he wanted Jesus to express himself, manifest himself as the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, it says he took him up to the peak of the temple in Jerusalem and said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself off of this, for it is written. And he quotes this passage of Scripture that, you know, he will guard you. He will not even, he will, he will order his angels to protect you, to hold you up with their hands. And what was Jesus' response to that? Oh, yeah, God's word does say that. Here I go. Jesus said, no, you have to take the whole of the Scripture when you are discerning what is right and what is wrong, and when you are rightly dividing the word of God. Now, he didn't express all that, but that's exactly what he was doing when he said, it is also written, you shall not test the Lord your God. And so this, there's a perfect lesson for us not to just pull one scripture out and say, oh, I can do this because the word of God says that. Yes, but is there other inclusive word that you need to balance that with as well? And this is exactly what Jesus was saying to the enemy when he said, you can do this and you won't get hurt. And Jesus said, yes, I would, because I'd be testing God. So there's a lesson for us in that. But also in this, we see that that the Lord has that guard for us. And I believe it's appropriate, very appropriate for us to ask the Lord for that kind of protection and that kind of safety, which the Word of God speaks of. Not that we command the angels, but that we appeal to the Lord in what His Word says, and then just leave it up to Him as He sees fit. But also as guardians, we see in Scripture about children, when it says in Matthew 18, verse 10, beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. Now, just that term there, their angels, possessive, speaks of, you know, like each child or each one has an angel that is guarding them, or an angel that is before the Father on their behalf. Remember, you know, the angel doesn't have to be there on the edge of the hill or the bridge or whatever. The angel is guarding even before the Father for those children. But guardian kinds of angels is part of their purpose. We also see in Scripture angels that are agents of deliverance. And one of the three that you named out was Michael. He is referred to as an archangel and also as a warrior angel. So we see that as part of deliverance that is made possible through angels. Also, we see angels in deliverance in closing the mouth of lions in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 21, when Daniel was released in the morning after his evening of being, or his night of in the cave with the lions, in the lion's den, he said, "My God sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions." And so there is that deliverance kind of activity of angels. Also, when Peter was imprisoned, there was an angel that came and released his chains and opened the prison gates for Peter to be released from prison. That's in Acts chapter 12 and verse 6, if you want the reference for that. Also, we see deliverance kind of activity with Elisha when this is the situation where the Arameans were at war with Israel. And if you remember, Elisha was discerning even what the king was saying, what the king of Aram was saying in his bedroom. That's what the guys said. You know, he knows what you're saying even in your bedroom. When the king of Aram thought someone was squealing, someone was a mole in his cabinet and going and telling Elisha or telling the king of Israel where they were going to be, where they were, you know, strategically, the Israelites always were ready for them because Elisha was discerning, Elisha the prophet was discerning what was happening and would tell the king of Israel they're going to be at this place at this time, and they'd go and they would defeat him. So Aram is totally upset. He says, "Find this man. I want to know where he is." And so they do find him, and the king of Aram and his army goes to come up against Elisha. And his servant goes outside and sees this army that's before them, and he goes, "Oh, what are we going to do now?" And this is what Elisha says. He says, "Don't be afraid." In 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17, "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. And the theme song began. Da 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 ch, 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 ch. Da 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 da. Chariots of fire. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, but notice how he said, "Open his eyes." In other words, they were there, but no one could see them. Looking at those things which cannot be seen. Now God was gracious to allow Gehazi a vision into the spiritual dimension where these things were otherwise not seen. If these things would have been seen by the army of Aram, the Aramites, they would have been fleeing. But so anyway, it became a trap for them, and Elisha was able to take them right to the king of Israel. But so interesting to read, but what's very interesting is how there are things that are happening that are unseen. But we need to have an awareness of those things. Because we put our trust in the Lord with the fact that there's a guarding, there is a safety, there is a place of deliverance. There are those who are ministering on our behalf to bring deliverance for us and have an awareness of those things in order to thrive in the spiritual dimension. I think we fear a lot more, not fear of God, but fear of our circumstances or fear of situations. We become anxious about things because of being unaware of that which is in the spiritual realm. And were God to open our eyes to see, it's like, "Oh, okay, there's that angel that's guarding me. There's that angel. There's that host of angels that are surrounding me that are keeping me safe. I don't need to worry about a thing." So awareness, we really need to develop an awareness. Also, we see angels as agents of judgment. And we see here where the king of Judah, Hezekiah, was battling against the Assyrians. And the prophet Isaiah spoke these words in 2 Kings 19, 32 through 35. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march outside its gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. The king will return to his own country by the same road on which he came. He will not enter this city, says the Lord. For my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Now, this uses the word angel as singular, not the host of heaven's armies or an army of angels. This says an angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and 185,000 soldiers fell. How about that? For strength of angels, for capacity, for ability of angels. And we start fussing about the little things that we deal with here on earth. So we need to have an awareness and just be, you know, aware of what's happening around us. Now, interaction with angels. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. First of all, people do not become angels. You know, sometimes we hear that at funerals, or, you know, God wanted another angel, or, you know, I mean, and I understand that. You know, don't get on anyone and say, oh, pastor says people don't become angels. What are you talking about? It's fine. You don't need to deal with that. But the point of it is they don't. People don't become angels. We see in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 22 and 23, I would encourage you to turn there. There's a distinction made with those that are in heaven between those that are angel or angelic beings and those that are people or the righteous that have gone to heaven. So just have that awareness and that knowledge that people don't become angels. Hebrews 12, they don't need to. I mean, why? You know, God created them and we'll have glorified bodies. We don't need to become angels. So Hebrews 12 and verses 22 and 23, it says, no, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. So again, there's the distinction between, as it says here, you have come to countless thousands of angels. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children. There's a distinction made between those. So people do not become angels. And here's another thing. Angels do not manifest in people. In other words, people that are living here, human beings that are living here, will not be possessed by or an angel manifest in them. However, angels can take on the presence or the appearance of human. And thus the scripture speaks about how we may possibly be entertaining angels without an awareness of it, because it's not going to be someone you know, and an angel speaks through them, or an angel appears. It would be someone you don't know, because they take upon themselves human form for that moment, or your eyes are opened up to see them. But we see this in Scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. It says, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers." For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Now, I want to say this about that. Be aware, but beware. In other words, this is not a good reason for you to pick up a hitchhiker, thinking, well, that may be an angel of the Lord. Don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. It says be hospitable to strangers, but don't take chances that you don't need to. Just thinking, well, maybe it's an angel. Maybe I should do this. Especially if you're young, you're by yourself. Just, you know, beware. Be aware, but beware. Also, we are given instruction when we're talking about interacting. In other words, it's not typical for us to see angels. We see in Scripture where it happened, And it may happen to you. It may have happened to you. But at the same time, you need to beware. And the scripture speaks about testing. Because in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, it says, I'm not surprised. This is talking about false prophets or false apostles, actually. When it says, I'm not surprised, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So if that happens, then there's the possibility of those that are serving Satan appearing as angels. So just if you see something that's out of the ordinary or an appearance, some, you know, that appears to you like out of nothing or out of nowhere, and the first thing that you need to do is beware. You know, be leery of that. And test, as it says here. You can test, as it says in 1 John 4, 1 and 2. Again, this is speaking of false prophets, but the same thing applies to any who would be coming to represent the Lord, bringing a message from the Lord. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. And in addition to this, I would say, test according to, is this appropriate with God's word? In other words, God's word is always the final test for us. And you might have someone say, you know, an appearance that says, Jesus is God's son. I believe in God. You know, and the scripture says that demons believe and they shudder. I mean, so demons believe, so they might confess that Jesus is God's son. But is what they're sharing or what they're saying or even the situation that you're experiencing, is this according to the word of God or is it outside of the realm of the word of God? For instance, as I shared, some person that you know is not going to manifest an angel. We don't see that at all in Scripture. We do see appearance of angels in human form, but not someone you know manifesting an angel. So that would be outside of Scripture, which would be error, which is a test. The word of God is a test. And now we see a donkey speaking in Scripture, but it was not the angel in the donkey, was it? The donkey was speaking and saying, there's an angel there. If we proceed, I'm going to die. And then we see a man acting like a donkey who is attempting to defy God's directive word. Balaam and his donkey. You can go back and read that story if you want. But the point of it is God's word is always final authority to us. And you got to know God's word and be discerning, and especially when it comes to the possibility of encountering or interaction with an angel. Here's a huge one. Don't seek angel visitations. Now, I know we see in Scripture where an angel visited and gave direction or gave the word of the Lord, represented the Lord, a messenger came, gave a message, but don't seek that. The challenge or the possibility of you seeking is making you vulnerable to error or to deception then because you're seeking something outside of what is normal activity. Now, paranormal activity, I guess is what it would be. But the point of it is we want to be just, it's up to God, okay? Seek the Lord. Don't seek angels. Seek the Lord. And as you seek God, let his angels minister to you at the bidding of God. They will minister to you, and you might have an appearance giving direction. But, you know, when I've been in situations where it's like, Lord, oh, it'd be so much easier for me to make a decision if you would just appear or have an angel come and give me a message. It's like times like that where it's probably much better for you to press after the leading of the Holy Spirit, follow what gives you peace in your heart, discerning and being led by the Lord that way, rather than asking for an angelic appearance. We need to seek God and let his angels do minister to us at the bidding of God. So I hope you found that to be helpful as we continue in this series of thriving in the spiritual dimension. We're looking at things that cannot be seen and spending some time to develop an awareness and spending some time to discern, what does this mean for me and how can I thrive in this spiritual realm as God intends for me to do it.